From WHYY in Philadelphia, this is The Why. I'm Annette John Hall.
And I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov. The Proud Boys are a far-right extremist group with chapters around the country, including here in our region.
Proud Boys are here, ladies and gentlemen!
They are officially considered an extremist group with ties to white nationalism and recruiting.
The group describes itself as Western chauvinists and is considered a hate group by the Anti-Defamation League and the Southern Poverty Law Center. The man who organized the white supremacist rally in Charlottesville became a member before putting together the event.
So when it came to light that a volunteer firefighter in Haverford Township had tried to join, controversy erupted.
In short, you sought his resignation because, in your view, he committed a thought crime.
Why did the incident expose deep divisions in the community? And what does this controversy say about the role local governments play when it comes to vetting extremist views of public servants?
Today on The Why, a township divided.
Philadelphia Inquirer columnist Maria Panaritis has been covering the story. So, Maria, there was this town meeting held in Haverford Township last week that got a little bit testy. Can you just briefly describe what happened?
It was a public meeting of the local governing body, the Township Board of Commissioners.
And item number two is a statement regarding the Bonaire Fire Company, an update. Read this statement on behalf of the Board of Commissioners.
Except what was unusual is that first on the agenda was a stated resolution of a matter that had become a lightning rod in the prior week or so in the community publicly, which was the closing down by the township of one of its volunteer fire companies.
The decision to take Bonaire out of service was not made hastily or lightly.
Over the fact that a high-ranking member of that volunteer squad had attempted to join a far-right group called the Proud Boys. And so everything came to a head at this public meeting. The people who came out were clearly the ones who were unhappy that that was the resolution, and they were very, very unhappy on the grounds that they felt the rights of this firefighter, a volunteer, had been trampled as they saw it.
Through my research, I have found the accusations that the Proud Boys are a white supremacist, neo-fascist extremist group to be false exaggerations made by their ideological opponents.
A young man who served his community for 6 years had not one instance of denying anybody their rights.
I no longer recognize Haverford Township. I do not recognize my home.
That man isn't reinstated. We've lost our way. That's all I got to say.
A little bit about Haverford's makeup, its people, its politics. What's it like in Haverford Township?
Haverford Township is a very interesting community just west of Philadelphia. It's a suburb in southeastern Pennsylvania that used to be one of the engines of sort of moderate but firm republicanism in the suburbs of Philadelphia. It has demographically shifted with newcomers to a far more progressive slash Republican mix of residents. It has a local governing board that's 5 Republicans to 4 Democrats, but they're viewed as far less partisan and much more sort of collegial, as oftentimes is the case with local politics. And it's this sort of symbolic core to a broader county that has become really a central battleground in the suburbs of Philadelphia over political control, Republican versus Democrat.
So this story centers around this volunteer firefighter named Bruce McClay. Who is he?
Mr. McClay, what we know about him publicly is that he was a lieutenant, had served on this fire company for, I believe it was 6 years, was also an executive on the board of the fire company. And in the middle of August, the township or officials within Haverford were made aware that this firefighter had been known to have been trying to join a local Proud Boys group. They resort to violence, street violence, to uphold their message and their value system. And for that reason, Haverford Township officials became concerned when they heard that perhaps someone who was acting in the capacity of representing the township in a public safety role might have been attempting to secure membership to this group. The firefighter did acknowledge immediately that he had attempted several phases of initiation to the group, said that he had stepped away from the group, and offered his resignation.
How did this come out, that he was trying to join this group?
I understand that there were, I guess, activists who spend time really taking a look at online activity to determine if there's anything like this happening. That was the catalyst that brought it to the attention of Haverford officials. And Haverford officials then began to do some due diligence on their own. And by the time it was brought to the firefighter's attention, the firefighter did not say that this wasn't true. In fact, said, yeah. But I did separate myself from this group and, I didn't go through with full initiation. Offered his resignation, and his fire company would not accept it.
Why didn't they accept it?
I can't speak for the fire company, but they did issue a statement in the midst of this very acrimonious month of back and forth, in which they effectively defended this member for, having the right to free speech. This is free association. He didn't do anything in his capacity as a firefighter that should have raised any, red flags to anybody.
So the fire company refuses his resignation. What happens then?
Soon after, matter of days after the fire company made it known to the township that it would not be accepting his resignation, the township went public with a letter to people in the community that left a number of people that I spoke to just frankly shocked, depending on what side they were on. Either, wow, what an extraordinary amount of transparency to put all of this out there, or, oh my gosh, what are these people doing to this poor man?
What was in the letter?
So the township laid out that
by unanimous action, the Board of Commissioners ratifies the actions undertaken by our township manager on Wednesday, September 4, 2019, and previously considered by this board in executive session, decertifying Bonair Fire Company from service.
We are shutting down Bonair Fire Company.
We received assurances from the police department and the fire chiefs from the other four fire companies that Bonair's territory would be served safely. With the Manoa Fire Company less than 1 mile away from the Bonair Fire Station, Board of Commissioners and Township.
We're going to repossess their equipment. We're going to take their trucks out of their station.
The Volunteers Association with a hate group cast doubt on the volunteers' ability to serve all persons equally. The township has a compelling interest in ensuring all residents receive or believe they will receive equal benefits of taxpayer dollars, particularly when it comes to public safety.
Because this is just not acceptable.
This is The Why.
Supporting WHYY, Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at pennmedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov.
And I'm Annette John Hall. We're talking with Philadelphia Inquirer columnist Maria Panaritis. She's written about Haverford Township's decision to close the Bonair Fire Company because one of its volunteers had sought membership in an extremist group.
Ultimately, the Bonair Fire Company reversed course and accepted McClay's resignation. The township has said the company will be reopened and its equipment returned, but questions remain about why residents were so divided to begin with. Do you think the township's strategy was just to put pressure on the company and get them to accept this guy's resignation?
I don't know what their strategy was. I wasn't in those meetings with them, right? But what you look at very clearly was decisive action by the township, very public action by the township, sort of extraordinary action that they would shut down one of their fire companies so publicly and release at the same time all the information about why they were doing this.
Maria, you said that the township has been shifting slightly more liberal, but it sounds like in this meeting, people were firmly behind the firefighter himself. Is this sort of indicative of how the town as a whole feels?
It would seem that the people who came out were very clearly in one camp. That's not to say they were in the only camp.
I don't think that a member of a hate group should be able to make life and death decisions as a first responder. The public deserves to know who is coming to save them.
When I read what had occurred with Bonair, I was deeply concerned. but also very happy to live here at Haverford Township, which has such a strong anti-discrimination policy.
There were many people on message boards. There were 500 signatures on a petition on the other side. And God knows how many more who were silent on both sides, but felt very strongly about this. You know, there were many people who felt that this had to happen, not just the commissioners. And there were many people who felt that this was an appalling infringement. And that's what made it, in my mind, so sad, is that even when it was dealt with swiftly, what you saw was this huge gulf between two groups and incredible anger.
This is probably a tough question, but where is the line that the town has to draw between, you know, acceptable and unacceptable behavior in a public servant? Obviously, people who showed up to the meeting think the firefighter in question, Mr. McClay, didn't cross a line, but where is that line, and like, how do we find it?
I think only a court challenge could answer that question. I think there are so many nuanced questions of the law and the specifics of this instance. You have a nonprofit or presumably privately held, privately controlled fire company that's volunteer, that has a contractual relationship with a public entity. You have a public entity that seems to have extraordinary rights under court precedent to protect itself by ensuring that there's no discrimination in its name. And also, as a privately run fire company with a contract to serve the public, they also had every right to fire this guy if they wanted. Private employers can fire anyone they want for any reason. So really, to speculate about lines and whatnot, I think it's more an interesting question of, if anybody were to sue after all this, it would be interesting to see what arguments they would make and what the court would say about where that line is.
I'm going to ask you to put on your columnist hat and tell me what your opinion is about all this. Where do you come down on this?
I think it's a really difficult environment right now to be staking very strong positions one way or another and expect people to meet you in the middle. And so my columnist position is this. I think that people need to stop and think reasonably about situations and not be as emotionally charged about issues that deal with just protection of the public and equal protection, regardless of race, gender, political persuasion. For me, in this case, one of the things that really stayed with me sitting through that meeting was how, in full volume, I heard that incredible vitriol that I had watched spill out for days leading up to it in community message boards. Community message boards, where usually the ugliest that things will get is if somebody's complaining about trash pickup, right? Or a neighbor's tall weeds. And to me, the really disturbing thing about all this maybe aren't the facts of the case and the nuances, which I think there are plenty of. It's that we've reached a point where there is such a huge debate over stuff. And that's what has me worried. That's what has me worried every day as a journalist. That's what I think about all the time in 2019 as a columnist. And that's what a story like this really brings to bear in my mind as I try to think, where are we going as a country and how can we possibly find common ground?
Thank you, Maria.
Maria, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Maria Panaritis is a columnist for the Philadelphia Inquirer.
The Y is produced by me, Shai Ben-Yaakov.
And me, Annette John Hall.
Along with Alex Stern and Xavier Lopez, with editorial direction from Katie Colinari.
Send us your thoughts on Twitter. I'm at Annette J.H.
And I'm at Shai Ben-Yaakov.
We'll be back Monday.